So there's a little bit of news about New York and the two idiot fans that were trying to steal the foul ball yesterday out of Mookie Betts' glove. There's an update on that now?
Yeah, MLB has released, well, I don't know if released a statement is the way to put it, but MLB is asking the Yankees to ban the fans who interfered with them. They will get a refund for the Game 5 as well. So it is seeming like they will not be there tonight.
But it sounds like MLB's it's up to the Yankees. Asking, yeah. They're asking. Does that? I wonder if that means it's going to happen. And I think it gets into that next part of the story. Like, what is a fan's right in that situation? Obviously, well,
there is no right in that situation.
Well, so what should a fan like? We had this conversation before. Like, I think if I'm sitting in that seat and I'm a Guardians fan and a Yankee's coming over to make a catch, I'll yell and scream and do whatever I can to distract him, because I want the hometown team to win, right? But what those guys did was just, it was over the line last night. I mean, they tried to take...
You think?
They took the ball. Mookie made the catch. And then all of a sudden, you know, these guys are like trying to open his glove, and they did. And they got the ball out, and the ball popped out. And I think if you looked at it from first glance, you're like, hey, what happened there? He didn't catch that. And then you knew it was fan interference from like, you know, from the second that the play went into the stands right there. But then they touched
him, the
other
guy grabbed his wrist.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's all, every bit of it's bad. But grabbing his wrist a little after the fact, I think, is might be the worst part of the whole thing.
Yeah, although the one fan looks like he's taking his glove off. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, if you can get a good glove for cheap, Andy.
Well, that is true. I mean, when you saw that, you know, he went back in. He pulled the ball out. The umpire was right on it. It's a good thing they have seven umpires in this game, because then we'd have to go back to replay. But the fans were like yelling back, like, hey, this is our wall. You can't do that.
We protect the wall. Sure.
I mean, I see the one guy covering his face because he didn't want to get hit with it, but that's one of the fans that rejected. What if the Yankees tell MLB to go pound salt?
Which they could.
Yeah.
And
you think they'll kick him out of the league?
You know what I think? What would you think?
Please, pretty please.
What would you
cinnamon,
think?
Cinnamon, sugar, and sprinkles, and a cherry on top?
You know what's worse than kicking them out of the league? Giving them a salary cap.
Please?
The Yankees would have to have this. They'd be the only team.
Let's not go that far.
No, you don't want to do that. Okay.
What would you think the fan base there would think if they let those guys keep their tickets?
Anybody can do anything they want.
What would you think the fan base would think of those two guys in particular? I think they would become heroes.
If they let him back in?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be heroes tonight.
Yeah.
It's like I was saying, you know, for the last game, when the Guardians were playing the Yankees at home, after the early home run in that game where the Yankees took the lead for the first time, this total knucklehead got up on the Yankees dugout and started dancing on the dugout roof. And, you know, like Slider does with the dancers, same thing. He looked like Slider. Like, it's like I rarely tweet anymore, but I tweeted.
Fuchsia that was suit like, and everything?
He might as well have had one. His face was fuchsia from a few cocktails, I'm sure. But he was up there and he was dancing, and I'm like, this isn't good. Because I was sitting next to some Yankee fans, and I go, hey, your buddy's about to go to the jail that's underneath the third base dugout over there. And they were like, what? I go, you can't jump on top of the dugout and start dancing like an idiot. Like Slider. Slider's not an idiot. I'm just kidding. But you can't get up on the dugout and start dancing.
Andy Baskin hates Slider.
I do not hate
Slider.
I am personal friends with Slider. I love Slider. So,
ding.
My point is, you can't do that, right? And all I can. Did I just get a ding for being friends with Slider?
I am personal friends with Slider.
Slider and I vacation together. The sunscreen really soaks into that fur.
Listen,
I'll tell you that.
I don't know if you remember back in the day when he broke his leg and he had to come back. I was there. I was at the hospital for him.
I'm sure you were.
Was it Kathy Lee, what's her face, that was there for Joe Theismann? Do you remember?
It was Kathy Lee Gifford, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't
Kathy Lee Crosby.
It was Kathy Lee Crosby.
Kathy Lee Crosby.
Who was in the hotel room during, was that Monday Night Football where they went live to the hotel, to the hospital? That was probably one of the sickest injuries we ever had seen at the time.
That was not good, man.
I mean, that, you know, we still to this day, when somebody, like, you think they break a bone, it's a Theismann injury, right? And then they go to they're in the hospital. Was it the next day or the next week? And she was sitting there by his side in the hospital. And I'm just like, oh my God, what am I watching here? So I did that for Slider.
I'm sure Slider appreciated it. Vocally thanked you. Either that or put his tongue in your ear.
It's just real. No, that's the Philly fanatic. Come
Slider,
on, man.
Get me to run out and get you a cheeseburger. I know this hospital food's horrible.
It's just weird because Slider can't talk back to you. So now you're trying to, you know.
No wonder you're good friends.
That's because he can't argue with me. It's kind of hard to argue with a guy that all I can do is move his arms up and down, right? And start yelling at you. And then
wiggle his belly. You got to figure out what that means.
Yeah. And then he tries to hug you to death. Or the next thing you know, you're out on the field and you got to race against him and his knucklehead friends, the onion and mustard and ketchup. Come on, man. We can do better than that. I don't even know. Where did this conversation start? It started with Mookie Betts.
You're leading the show today, pal. Right,
thanks,
you got
man.
Me.
By the way, we're waiting for Jameis Winston. When the Reverend steps up to the podium, we will hear the sermon that he has to say about.
I like Pastor Jameis better.
Dan, will you just break the tie so I don't have to? Because he wants
the
to
Reverend,
argue with
isn't
me.
Isn't
that
about James it. Brown?
I mean,
where's Roosevelt? He'd tell us.
I mean, it was the Reverend Al Green, too.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Gotta like Al Green.
I think it all works. I think there's no wrong answers.
Yeah, you gotta break the tie because every time I say Reverend, Jeff's gonna go, I think preacher's better.
I didn't say preacher. I said pastor.
Pastor, sorry.
Well, the thing with pastor is it sounds too close to the pastor not. Who's Josh Dobbs?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
that's only
true.
Problem with pastor.
That's, well.
Can we give him a nickname?
I mean, famous Jameis pretty much sums it up.
That's pretty tough to be.
Yeah, famous Jameis is awesome.
Yeah, but that doesn't give you the full power and impact of his emotional repartee with the media when he steps up and has a press conference. Like, you just don't. What was the line he had the other day about we play for the sticker on the back of our helmet?
Oh, wait a minute. We don't have one.
We don't have any stickers. I loved it. I'm like, that's a guy who's cut from the same cloth
at least,
as me.
At least
that
he
was,
figured
that
it,
was very close he, to a basketism.
But he figured it out on the fly.
Yeah, that's the kind
that
of stuff
that was pretty good.
Like, as the stupid words come out of my mouth, I realize them, and then I try to backtrack and come back around on that. So we're going to have his press conference when we come up. All right, so you never answered my question, though. Like, how far can a fan go in that situation?
Well,
and you guys are going to be so uptight about this stuff.
You can't do that at all.
You shouldn't make contact. That's easy.
You're supposed
right?
to get out of the way.
No, there's no way I'm getting out of the way. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to yell as loud as I can and try to distract him from catching the ball. Why wouldn't you? You can't. They're not going to kick you out for that. Drop it. Drop it. Drop it. I don't think there's anything. That's being a fan. You think it's wrong to do that?
I didn't.
Oh, sir, let me give you some room so you can catch this.
That's not what you asked.
Well, how far should they be able to go?
Well, you shouldn't be able to make a play on the ball. You're not supposed to.
At what point are you? Once you know the ball has clearly made it into the fans? Because now you're making a play.
I don't know anything about fan behavior on foul balls in the field of play. To me, you get out of the way.
Menigan, would you get out of the way?
I would never reach into the field of play. I would never reach into anyone's glove or anything like that. I don't know if I'd get out of the way. I think I would attempt to catch the ball if it crossed.
If it's coming at you, you're allowed to.
It's the touchdown.
That's self-protection.
Thing, you know?
That's like, also self-protection.
You know, it's sure. Like, here's the line, and where does it cross the plane?
And so the thing about Betts last night is like he was even with the wall when he made the catch. So it could have been in play. It was close. You know, but the fans are on the other side of the wall. You're right. What'd you think of Jameis Winston?
Kevin Stefanski's right. He's a ball of energy. He's got a lot of juice. There's no question about that. One thing that's impressed me about him, and maybe it's nothing that should impress me, he's been very, very, very tactful in talking about Deshaun Watson and talking about being the guy who's playing quarterback right now. And I just appreciate that. I think, you know, regardless of what you thought about Deshaun or what you do think about Deshaun, I think Jameis has handled the situation perfectly, as well as it could be handled.
Yeah, I don't know what else he could say. That's, you know, but he doesn't, but you know,
he could say nothing.
Yeah.
And instead, he's actually saying things and handling it perfectly. So that rather than just, you know, not saying much of anything, I think he's saying some really good things. I give him credit for that. I'm impressed.
I do want to switch gears because we haven't had a whole lot of time to talk about it tonight, and we did talk a little bit about it with John Ireland, the Lakers play-by-play voice. Your thoughts on this game tonight? I mean, the Cavs have been hot. They got a good win the other day against the Knicks. You know, we could sit and talk about the first three games of the season. Yeah, well, they were supposed to win those games. But winning at Madison Square isn't exactly easy. And
it's a good game.
I thought they played well. I like it. And I thought that, you know, John brought up a great point that the difference between the Lakers and the Cavs are you've got two new head coaches going at it.
I would think it's a game the Cavs should win. I think you have a better roster than the Lakers, and I think they're playing at home. So those two things make me think they should win. It doesn't mean you're going to win. But anytime LeBron comes back, since he was here the second time with the Lakers, it's been a big group hug instead of an animosity-filled situation as it was when he came back with Miami.
Yeah, do you cheer when Bronny goes in the game, or are you just kind of, it's just another player?
I don't cheer when you go into the game. I would, though. If you went into the game, I would. If you went into an NBA game, I'd cheer.
I appreciate it.
And if you went in, stand up and scream, AP!
To get up there and do your Rick Barry free throws, it'd be great.
AP! Yeah. I was never good at that.
At the Rick Barry free throws? I was. In the backyard. Because we had a hoop in our backyard. Everyone used to stop by and play. Like, we lived the first house off of South Taylor. And we had this giant bee on our garage, which is gone now. So I feel good for the folks that live there. And like we would
name started with S.
Yeah, that's probably true. Random people would show up in our backyard to start playing basketball. I just hop out there and start playing. My dad didn't care. We didn't care. I can't tell you how many pickup games were going on in our backyard. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go play. Some people back there. I don't know how I ended up. My question though, like, how do you think the fans are gonna respond tonight to?
I would hope he gets a nice round of applause.
I would think so, too.
Who spent a good portion of his youth here in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, that's about
it. He hasn't done anything to anybody here.
True.
So.
And, I mean, when you go back and look at his story, and if he goes to the G League and ends up coming back and is successful, I think we'll talk more about what John Ireland and you both talked about when it comes to Bronny. Is this, medical miracle of what happened in college, and the fact that now he's in the NBA, and I thought John told a pretty good story of where he's at in his life and why he's here right now, and maybe if that hadn't happened, he might have stayed in college for another year, and you know, it gave them the opportunity to be able to pull off this feat. I don't know, it's pretty cool. I mean, look, he's a G League player. That's really what he is, but he's got the opportunity right now.
He's like a lot of guys in the NBA, you know, kind of two-way deals, and we'll see how it works. Joe Varden from The Athletic wrote a piece on Bronny, and it was kind of interesting. And going back and looking at the school that he went to here and talking to people at the school.
Ultra?
Yeah. And there were a bunch of pictures, and one of them is LeBron holding Bronny when he was 3-4 years old. And I thought, I remember that little kid running around the court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that little kid is now going to be on the court playing probably tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty cool moment. I mean, if you can just kind of enjoy the moment tonight and then watch the Cavs go out there and hopefully win the game. That's the way it should be tonight.